quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please silence all electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the subcommittee must fill out an appearance card and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. Members, based on the feedback and guidance we gave staff at our last meeting, we have four additional staff-produced maps on the workshop agenda today. Our feedback should continue to conform to the directives issued unanimously by the full committee. You will find a copy of the directives in your meeting materials. Our feedback and guidance to staff should also continue to be consistent with the cautions expressed in the memorandum we received from President Simpson, President-designate Pasadomo, and Leader Book. I would caution members in their questions, feedback, or guidance to staff today to express themselves carefully so that nothing said in this meeting is misperceived as motivated by any impermissible purpose. At our next meeting in January, I expect we will submit a recommendation which will include a map or set of maps to the full committee. When Chair Rodriguez reconvenes the full committee to consider our recommendations, members may offer amendments. As a reminder, the maps that we will be workshopping today are not final. Any alterations that are proposed, whether as guidance and feedback to the staff or as an amendment offered in the future, should adhere to the constitutional principles and apply them consistently throughout the state. I've been advised by counsel that these additional plans brought forward by staff today comply with the complex layering of federal and state standards and contain various trade-offs with the co-equal Tier 2 standards presented in each plan. I would also remind you that members of the public have been continuing to submit plans and comments to floridaredistricting.gov. If you are interested in reviewing them, these plans can be viewed on the submitted plans and get involved pages of the website. Are there any questions before we proceed to the presentation? All right. Mr. Farron, you are recognized for a walkthrough of the staff prepared plans.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So since our last meeting, we've been working with the drafts that were published on November 10th and presented on November 16th. Specifically, the staff was looking for improvements and consistency in the application of the various trade-offs that were presented in the maps. As with the first set of drafts, we set an ambitious goal to produce the maps several days, or to publish the maps several days ahead of the Senate's traditional deadline for publication of meeting materials. And so the maps that we have to workshop today were made publicly available on November 24th. That really meant that we only had about a week or so to look for areas of the map to adjust and improve upon. So we took that time to closely review the district boundaries within each redistricting plan and discovered that by making some very minor adjustments, we were able to achieve some measurable improvements. Although not visible from space, changes were made to most of the districts in each plan. And you can see on this slide here where we used plan 8002, changed 26 districts, and that became 8018, and so on and so forth. And so when we were doing that, we were ensuring that there was consistent boundary usage, and that included placing district boundaries consistently on a median or specific lane of a primary or secondary road in the middle of a river instead of using one bank or the other, and correcting areas where a boundary inadvertently fell on a non-qualifying geographic feature. We also looked closely at places where there were other political or geographic boundaries available. Examples of doing that would be using the city boundaries in South Florida instead of a non-qualifying geographic feature and drawing the boundary of a district on the opposite side of a primary or secondary road to keep the city whole. In the case of congressional districts where the deviation must be plus or minus one person, improvements were made to select areas where the population was zeroed out. The next few slides will contain some of these examples. So this is an example of an adjustment that was made along a roadway in Duval County. In all the previous plans, the boundary between districts 4 and 5 followed different sides of I-95 on the Fuller-Warren Bridge in Jacksonville. It also came off the road a little bit there. And then in the revised plans, we improved on the consistency where the boundary was placed on the roadway. And overall, the boundary usage increased for both districts in 4 and 5. This one's a little difficult to see, but in all the previous plans, the westbound lane of U.S. Highway 441 was used as part of the boundary between districts 20 and 21. The city boundary of Loxahatchee Groves actually crosses this median and ends on the eastbound lane of U.S. Highway 441. It resulted in the city of Loxahatchee Groves being split three times between districts 18, 20, and 21. when we move that boundary south to the eastbound lane, all the revised plan take Loxahatchee Groves out of District 21, which is the green district there, and meaning that it remains split, but only between districts 18 and 20. The unpopulated split is removed, and the boundary consistently follows the eastbound lane of US 441, which is also Southern Boulevard. Here's an example of adjusting the boundary along a primary or secondary road to keep another city whole. In all of the previous plans that we workshopped a couple weeks ago, the cities of Pembroke Park and West Park were split between districts 23 and 24. In all of the revised plans that we're workshopping today, the cities of Pembroke and West Park are wholly within District 24, and we were able to achieve that by shifting the boundary north to follow the westbound lane of State Road 824, which is Pembroke Road. Here's another example that involves Districts 20 and 21. In the plans that we workshopped previously, the boundary between Districts 20 and 21 was the canal that ran parallel to the city boundary of Coral Springs and the Sawgrass Expressway. And although it's a waterway, it did not meet our objectively defined criteria as a contiguous water body of greater than 10 acres. And so in revising it, we follow the city boundary of Coral Springs, which improves the city improves the boundary usage rate for both districts 20 and 21. This slide shows an example of an adjustment that was made to where the population was balanced down to plus or minus one person. In all the previous plans, District 11 extended south of State Road 50 to pick up 45 people in that little blip there. All the revised plans visually improved the boundary between Districts 11 and 28 to keep it on State Road 50 and equalize the population in a neighboring area to the east. This is another example of a change that was made to improve the utilization of existing geographic boundaries while balancing population. So in all the plans that were previously workshopped, two of the plans that were previously workshopped, which were 8002 and 8006, District 1 came off State Road 83 in order to achieve the plus or minus one person deviation. In the revised plans 8018 and 8022, we visually improved the boundary usage between Districts 1 and 2 while zeroing the population, keeping more of the boundary on State Road 83. This slide shows an example of a change that was made to improve the compactness and utilization of political and geographic boundaries. In all previous plans, the boundary between District 8 and 18 followed State Road 60 East, zeroed the population near Florida Ridge in Indian River County. And in revising this configuration, the boundary now adheres to the Indian River County line and follows more qualifying boundaries, which results in a more visually compact and improved boundary usage score for districts 8 and 18. The changes from 8002 to 8018 are shown in this slide. Overall, we see a 2% decrease in the use of non-political and geographic boundaries, so we go from 11% on the right there down to 9. The plan also keeps 5 additional cities whole with all geography and population in one district, bringing that total count from 351 to 356. We also see here where we've got the use of political and geographic boundaries, and particularly the non-political and geographic boundary score listed for all the districts. So you can see the improvements to the specific districts. And overall, we were able to improve that score for 13 of the 28 districts in the plan. This slide has this similar changes to 8004 and 8020. So here again, we see a 2% decrease in the use of non-political and geographic boundaries. We go from 11 to 9%. We keep another 5 cities whole with all geography and population in one district. So we go from 352 whole cities to 357. And again, we see that there is the district specific statistics for the use of non-political and geographic boundaries is improved for 13 of the 28 districts here on this slide. Next, we'll look at the changes overall between Plan 8006 and Plan 8022.
So or continue? Okay, carry on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So AE 22 also sees a 1% decrease in the use of non-political and geographic boundaries. So this one is one in which planned at 88,006 had a 10% non-political geographic boundary use, and that's now down to 9 on the average. So we also are able to keep another 5 cities whole, which brings the total from 350 to 355. And then this slide also shows the district-specific boundary usage scores for not the use of non-political and geographic boundaries. We were able to overall decrease that score for 12 districts in Plan 8022. This one shows the comparison between 8008 and 8024. We see a 1% decrease again in the use of non-political and geographic boundaries, and an additional 5 cities kept whole, and in this plan that brings the total from 351 to 356. And again, we have the district-specific non-political geographic boundary usage scores presented here, and once again, we were able to improve that score for 12 of the congressional districts in the plan. Madam Chair, that's what we have.
Thank you for that. Having heard the changes in the new draft plans, are there any questions, any comments? Senator Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Visually, looking at the 20 and even the 18, the District 20 sort of has a wraparound looking thing where the north and the south part have encompassed some, I don't know what those neighborhoods are, but if the explanation is in order to make them, I don't know what would be the explanation of why you would divide them like that. And over there, and because all the rest of them look pretty compact, this one there kind of stands out. And then in District 9, you've got that little finger, and I don't know what that little finger does, but in District 9.
Senator Stewart, so let's address District 20 first. So in the benchmark plans, District 20 is a majority-minority African-American district. And so in order to protect against diminishment and retrogression, we redrew that to be over 50% African-American voting age population. And so that is part of the reason why that district is configured the way it is in order to get to that population, it had to be drawn in a slightly less compact manner. But as far as District 9 goes, I think you're talking about the county boundary there. So you're looking at the boundary between Districts 28 and District 9. That is actually the Polk and Osceola County boundary. So we're following the county boundary the whole way. I believe that's actually a lake.
That little finger's a lake.
I believe that's the case, yes.
Okay.
And so our intention there was to keep all of Osceola County whole, and in order to do that, we had to keep that little finger in there.
Those were my only two observations, so thank you for the explanation. And I haven't heard that anybody, any negative feedback on that. It was just my observation, but thank you.
Anything additional? All right, I would encourage, first of all, thank you, staff. In a very short period of time, Mr. Farron and your team have done, in a short period of time, it's very meticulous work, and I think that it reinforces this process that we're in. It's a very, we're going to continue to improve and make refinements to the maps, and I think we see that today. To the members on the committee, if there are amendments or if there is a vision you have for a certain part of the state, you don't need to wait until the final map is brought to the full committee, you can begin working with staff and working to let them know what your thoughts are and let them get started working on that. We don't need to wait. It would be helpful for staff if they had that ability to do that as we go forward through the month of December. So keep that in mind. If there is something that you want to see or an area of concern, please get with staff early. They're here for you. They want to help, and they will do that. Senator Harrell.
I do have one question, and I know to submit a map, you have to submit a complete map. But if we have specific suggestions, say, on that questions or suggestions on the Little Fingers Lake, you know, that made what there was a distortion that at least appeared to be, do we just talk directly to staff on that and then they might incorporate our particular ideas within a next version? Or do we have to really produce a map and submit the map?
Thank you, Senator Harrell. And yes, I would get with staff. And just a reminder, when you tweak one part of the map with an amendment, it really becomes a new map. So every amendment is itself a new map. So get with staff, and they will be more than happy to step you through and help guide you and see your suggestions become a submitted plan or an amendment, if that's your desire.
Thank you. And I also want to say I'm very pleased to see the effort put into really making sure that we look at cities. I know there's real improvement in those cities, although we do know city lines do change. It's good at least to start with what is the existing city. So I was very pleased to see some of that as well. But thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, members, we have come extraordinarily far in what has been an extremely condensed amount of time. I believe we are on the right track for success. We have 6 weeks until our next meeting. I would propose that we have staff consider the feedback and guidance we have given them here today, ask them to consider it through the lens of the overall directive as well as applicable federal and state legal standards. I would also propose that staff continue to spend time looking for improvements and consistency in the application of the various trade-offs presented in the maps. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none. Senator Harrell moves we adjourn. Is there objection? So the motion adopted. We are adjourned.